This morning's text, 2 Timothy chapter 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and thus they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from wickedness. Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if a man cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. And the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Amen. Second Timothy 2:24-26. And the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. In our last consideration, we looked mainly at the witness of Jesus Christ that we are to present to those outside the body of Christ. I think that all of us would agree that we are to show forth lives that would strive to attract others to the Lord. Accordingly, it is our responsibility to be kind and to be patient with those who do not know Christ. I think that most of us would agree that we should be kind and gentle with each other as well in the body of Christ. These are not grand statements of some new truths that are just now being revealed to us. However, as is often the case, what we know and agree with is not necessarily characteristic of how we behave. Sadly, even though we want to treat others in such a godly manner, we often find ourselves losing patience, especially when we've gone over the same things day after day, week after week, and year after year. We sometimes look at others with envy and with jealousy. We might hold ourselves up with a supposed sense of superiority. We may regard other Christians as somehow inferior, lacking in spirituality, and very fortunate to be in our presence, much less the Lord's presence. I'm exaggerating this to make a point, yet with grave concern. I wonder how much it is truly exaggerated in our minds and our thoughts. How many of us are caught up in a sense of being better than another in some form or fashion? Or, on another sad level, how many of us are deeply set in a sense that we are inferior to others within our family in Christ? Either one of these attitudes displeases God because we become the focal point, not Jesus Christ. We look at ourselves within the body and not Him. As members of His body, it is imperative that we keep our heart and our mind focused singly on that which He has done to bring us into His body. The only true reason that we're gathered together is because He chose us in His infinite grace and mercy to be partakers together of His so great salvation. That is why we are together. With this at the forefront of our thoughts, let us see how we are to respond to the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our oneness in Jesus Christ. Look at the heart of the Apostle Paul as he expressed it in 1 Thessalonians 2:5 through 8. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. Notice the loving manner in which believers are to be treated within the body. We should be gentle, filled with the same love as a mother who tenderly cares for her children. This does not mean that we do not reprove or discipline or point out those elements of spiritual harm as so directed by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. God forbid that we would so allow each other to wallow in sin and spiritual disobedience. That would be no way in which to truly love someone and express that love. In this heart, when discipline is required, it is with that same gentle love of a parent for his or her child, with firmness and consistency in the love of Jesus Christ. We need to learn to treat each other with such a fond affection that we will become very dear to one another. We need to learn to encourage one another in Christ. There should be a true commitment of love to be in one another's presence in Christ. There should be that heart which rejoices in every opportunity to be together. There should be a visible outreach across ages and generations which finds delight in one another. This is so because we share together in all the love of Jesus Christ's gospel. Listen to the description that should be in place within those who belong to Jesus Christ. Romans 12:10-13. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. There is a common devotion that is to be in place. As Christians, we desire to commit ourselves to being dedicated to God. We like to try to show Him that there is that commitment in our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ in the manner in which we read His Word together and we pray together and we worship together. That devotion is as well required in honoring the Lord as we deal with the members of His body, with one another. We should be characterized by sincerity in our dealings with each member of the body. That earnestness is to be set in the fact that we are thankful to God for being included in His church. It must be such full thanksgiving that it exudes in our service to the needs of our fellow believers. We should show forth complete satisfaction in all that God has done in our lives. That satisfaction is individual and it is corporate. We are thankful to God and we are satisfied with what He has done in joining us together in Him. As such, within the body, there are some very important characteristics and patterns of behavior that are to be ingrained and inherent. Let me restart this in one moment. There are those aspects of our fellowship together that need to take precedence. And one of those is that we are of one heart with each other. And as disruptions come along, rather than giving in to the disruption, it's hard enough with parents. So we allow ourselves to remain focused on Christ and take the pressure off of those parents that they think that they could be causing any distraction. We stay focused and we allow them to deal with the things that need to be dealt with. That's one aspect, because we love them. We want them to be encouraged in Christ. So within the body, there are those very important characteristics and patterns of behavior that are to be ingrained and inherent in regard to service unto the church. 1 Timothy 3:2-3. An observer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, uncontentious, free from the love of money. Notice, the Lord expects very much from those given responsibility within service to His people. There is an established perfect pattern of behavior and divine concern of the heart. It is the very heart of Christ which is demanded, yes, very forcefully demanded in the treatment of God's beloved. This is not a call that's taken lightly. with any idea of self-glory or status. It is one which inherently carries the sentence of death to self in utter and unrewarded service to the people of God's election. It echoes our morning's text quite vigorously. And the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. One of the very saddest elements of today's church is the fact that there are quarrels and contentiousness evidenced. It is on display. It shows the fact that the earthly church is just like any other organization of man. Because we have our ideas and our thoughts of what should and should not be, we try to win others over to our point of view. We try to bring to bear public opinion within the church and majority rule in place of the sovereignty of Christ. We think that if we can get enough backing for our position on this item or that aspect of thinking, that we can force others to acquiesce to our thoughts and our ideas. This is the depravity of self-rule that brings forth contentiousness and quarrelsomeness and bitterness and anger and frustration and unforgiveness. This is the wrong position of human thinking within the structure of the church. It serves only to show forth contempt for others and ridicule for their ideas and behavior. These are all things that the world does, and does with very great astuteness. This age is very adept at looking for differences and exploiting those weaknesses and flaws. It uses these to elevate itself above the perceived station and the inadequacy of others. Too often, churches are so infiltrated with the human regard for spiritual truth that they lose the heavenly perspective of what is really and truly taking place. That is why the Lord is so demanding on those in service to the body. We are to be constantly and rigorously on guard against those things that would serve to detract and to distract from His Lordship within His church. And this stand of Christ is not limited to those in the chosen service of ministry to the flock. Titus 2:2-8. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible in all things. Show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, in order that the opponent may be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. The whole church has a responsibility. There is great responsibility set on every member of the flock to abide by the life and the character that is now ours in Jesus Christ. And let me repeat that. The whole church has the responsibility to live the life that we have by the character and nature of Jesus Christ. Notice that we have a service to render unto each other, no matter what age, no matter what ability level, no matter what our level of spiritual growth. We are all teaching and learning together and sharing together in the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. We are to treat each other with kindness and with sincerity in the faith by which we live and by which we have been so blessed. Pay attention to the key words of this passage. This is our responsibility. It's laid out for us very clearly. We are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound, reverent, pure, loving, an example, and beyond reproach. While we know that we cannot accomplish this of our own accord, we do fully recognize that we are given the grace and the power to be such truthful and righteous examples of Christ's love. It is through manifest and steady obedience. We obey His word under the direct guidance and in the strength and wisdom of His Holy Spirit. That is how we treat each other in the church. It is in Him that we learn to desire to be such faithful and willing witnesses of our Lord. And we come to a point here which I want no one to miss, most especially myself. There's a key in this that is often overlooked and even deliberately ignored. It is the fact that we should desire to be such witnesses. We should want to be that witness. It's not something that just happens. It's something we give ourselves to. There should well up within our hearts the absolute need to so please our Heavenly Father in the manner that we present the testimony of Christ on this earth. Not to please each other, to please our Heavenly Father, which is far greater. That's the trouble for most of us, after all. We do not want to live the life that we have been given in Jesus Christ. We want to live our own lives in the way that we deem best to live them. We want to live in accordance to our understanding of what it means. We are willing to accept suggestions and to listen to directions to a point, but we want to make the decisions and we want to choose the paths and our manner of living. We do not want everything that is part and parcel of completely living to Jesus Christ. We want to choose and to pick cafeteria style, those things of this world that we like and those things of the Lord that we like. We choose to disregard and to avoid all those things we dislike and do not want to face. That's not living completely unto Jesus Christ. Let it be very clearly understood that this is the very spirit of human independence and self-centered consideration that is the root of our evil, sinful nature. Whether we like hearing it or not, whether we choose to accept it or not, makes no difference. We are not given any leeway in our choosing to live by Jesus Christ. If we decide to ignore the guidance of the Holy Spirit, if we choose to set aside or minimize the precepts of the Word of God, we are merely dabbling in the realm of spirituality and not fully partakers of it. We will find ourselves in the most precarious of dilemmas, facing spiritual reality by means of human endeavor. In that horrid predicament, we will always fail. No question about it. We will never find true satisfaction within our Christian life. We will never be able to partake of Christ's rest and joy and wisdom and understanding. There will never be the sustaining reality of Christ in us, our hope of glory. We will ever be caught in a web of knowing what we should do, but never able to fully enjoy the certainty of the lordship and the majesty of Jesus Christ. He will be our eternal salvation, but not our blessing of life today, this very moment. This is the picture that is laid before us by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Will be abundantly supplied to you. It is with diligence, with complete self-denial, that we come into the fullness of the lordship and the blessing of Jesus Christ. It is with an unquenchable desire for the glory of God to be seen in the lives that we live on this earth, that His majesty will pour over our spirits and will flood our souls and our hearts. It is with heartfelt seeking and obedience that we will come into the true relationship as the brethren of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is with hearts that cry out unto Him to make us that which brings glory to His name, that we will find our lives useful for His purpose and His plan of love and salvation on this earth. We are His ambassadors, His representatives of eternal life in Jesus Christ, both within and without the church. Let it be that we live in full accordance with that tremendous and eternally vital call for the sake of one another, for the sake of our loved ones, for the sake of our friends and associates, but most especially for the sake of His name in all of creation. So be it. And the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Amen.